to Cassiari as we continue our study in the course, The Doctrine of Salvation, as we begin lesson number 3, tape number 2, side 1. Well, we ended lesson 2 last time. We began looking at the method of regeneration. And I want to continue there with some more discussion about the method of regeneration. And we saw last time that we're given a new creature. The believer is given a new creature, becomes a new creature, amen. And the new nature that we now have is Jesus Christ's very own nature. And as a result, it carries with it all of his moral attributes. Let's look at some scripture together. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. In verse number 8. Romans 6, verse number 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So Paul writes to the Roman Christians, now if we be dead with Christ, and as a result of trusting Christ as our personal Savior, the believer is now dead with Christ, dead to that old sin nature. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Live with him, amen, because we now have his very nature. Looking in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans 8, 9 with me. Romans 8, 9. But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now that's a result of becoming a new creature in Christ. But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. See, now we have the, as a result of having the Christ's very own nature, we also have the Spirit of Christ in us now as believers. Looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. See, we have the fullness of Christ now in us. We have the wisdom of Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ. And the sanctification, and we have redemption. And we're going to look at that doctrine of redemption, which is also one of the eight doctrines that deals with salvation. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, again, all of these verses are bringing out that the new nature that we receive by regeneration is the very own nature of Christ. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And as believers, sometimes we forget about that. But we have Christ's very own nature. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 10. Ephesians For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. We're the God the Father's workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus. And the purpose for that is under good works. See, we get saved and then we go to work. Good works don't save us. But because now we have the very own nature of Christ, we do those good works. Amen. Which glorify our Father which is in heaven. Just as Jesus said he came to do the works of his Father, amen, of the one who sent him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 24. In that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, because we have, again, the true nature, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's very own nature, that nature is one of righteousness and true holiness. We have a new life. We're a new creature because we're in Christ. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Amen. Talking about we've been quickened with him, with Christ. And our trespasses have been forgiven. We've been resurrected with Christ in newness of life. Amen. So we have Christ's very own nature. 2 Peter. 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We now have a divine nature, Christ's own nature, amen, as a result of that of regeneration. Again, we're discussing the method of regeneration and some of the things as a result of that. Since the new nature is Christ's nature, it is in every way contrary to the believer's fallen Adamic nature, which he still has. And see, that explains the struggle as believers that we have, that we struggle with every day. There's a part of us, the old nature, the sin nature, that wants to please the flesh, and that's contrary to God. And then there's the new nature, Christ's very own nature, that we've received as a result of regeneration, that's in the Spirit and wants to please God, and they're contrary one to another. And we see in Romans 6, 7, and 8, first of all, in Romans 6, we have the ideal, what Christians should be. Now that we have Christ's own nature, we should be servants to righteousness and not to sin. And then in Romans 7, Paul speaks about we have the reality. In other words, what most of us are in practice. And Paul talks about his struggle in the flesh. He wants to do good, he wants to do right, amen. But his flesh doesn't, his spirit does. He says, O wretched man that I am, there is no good thing that dwelleth in me, in my flesh, Paul says. Amen. And then Romans chapter 8, we have the hope. In spite of his weakness and many failures, the believer is not condemned because he is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then in Galatians chapter 5, in verses 16 to 26, what Paul describes here is what the flesh manifests and what the Holy Spirit in the believer manifests if we let him, if we allow him. We have the works of the flesh and we have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Only something that the Holy Spirit can produce. The flesh cannot produce any of this fruit. It's only produced by the Holy Spirit that we have, Christ's Spirit in us, Christ's very own nature. And let's read down through that in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 to 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to the other. So we see the flesh and the Spirit are opposite. They're contrary one to another, always warring. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is what the flesh is capable of. This is what the flesh produces. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now these are the things that only the Holy Spirit can produce in the believer's life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And if they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. See, that's what the flesh is desirous of, vainglory. Provoking one another, envying one another. That's what the flesh will do. Provoke one another, cause us to envy one another. Amen? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, in verses 9 through 10. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See, this is what the flesh, the old nature, will do. Will have us to lie. But what Paul is telling the church at Colossae is, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. You know, because we've been regenerated, he says, because you've been regenerated, saved, born again, you have the new birth, you have Christ's nature in you. Now you can put off the flesh. You can put away lying. In verse 10 now of Colossians 3, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. We should be Christ-like. Amen. We should take on the image of Christ. We should put on our new spiritual apparel. Amen. Because we've been regenerated, born again. Every Christian is to grow and become mature in his new nature and make no provision for the old. See, we have the power now to overcome the flesh because we've been regenerated. We have the power, amen, not to be a servant to sin anymore, but a servant to righteousness. And we have the Spirit of God in us that can give us the victory over the flesh. Look at with me in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 in verse number 14. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're commanded now that we've been regenerated to put on Christ. Amen. To follow Christ. I remember what it says in the book of Acts with the apostles and their testimony. They were Christ-like because their opposition made note of them and knew that they had been with Jesus. Amen. The same thing with us as believers. As people should be able to see us and know that we've been with Jesus. Amen. That's who we're following. That we're Christ-like. Amen. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Again, now, as a result of our new nature, amen, we're no longer to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. Amen. That's who you're living for now. Amen. As a believer, living for Christ, not for yourself anymore. God should be in every, the Lord should be in every decision that you make. Amen. There's nothing too small not to pray about. Amen. God should be in on it. The Lord should be in on everything, on every decision, on every move that you make. Amen. And it should be to please Him and to serve Him and to live unto Him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And of course, Paul is giving the Corinthians an exhortation to purity, to live a purified life. Because now, we're in Christ. We have a new nature. We should no more longer make provisions for the flesh. See, our aim no longer, our goal is, and desire should no longer want to please self and the flesh, but to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 with me. Galatians 5 and verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the whole key. Not making provision for the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. And if we would walk in the Spirit as believers, amen, every waking hour, then we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That should be our desire, to walk in the Spirit. But unfortunately, a lot of us do not have really have that desire. to want to walk in the flesh 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 with me. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 in verse number 2. As a newborn babes, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. See, again, because of our new nature, because we've been regenerated, we should be growing each day, maturing, amen, in this new nature, and have a desire for the word of God, as a baby has a desire for the milk, amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 18, 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we're to be growing as a result of that new nature. Amen. As a result of the regeneration. Now we want to turn our attention at the last point of discussion under the doctrine of regeneration, and that's the permanence of regeneration. You know, how long does it last? Can we lose? You'll hear some that'll teach that we can lose our regeneration or become unregenerated, amen, or unborn again, amen. And I always think of an egg. Once you scramble it, amen, you can't unscramble it, amen. Once you're born again, you can't become unborn again. Since the life a Christian receives in Christ's own life is Christ's own life, the life that we receive now, the Christian receives is Christ's own life, it is therefore eternal life, amen. Praise God for that. We can't lose it. Let's look at some verses of Scripture. In the first, we want to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter number 3. The Gospel of John in chapter number 3, and verses 15 and 16. That whosoever believeth in him, that's Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The life that we receive in Christ is eternal life. The permanence of regeneration. It's permanent, it's everlasting, amen, it's eternal. Look in the same Gospel of John chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's present tense. That's not past tense or future tense, but hath, right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a wonderful promise in the Word of God. Those who have trusted Christ, have believed on Christ for their salvation, have passed from death, spiritual death, amen, separation from God, Almighty God, in a lake of fire for time and eternity. We've passed from that to life, eternal life, with the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem someday. Amen. The Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 48. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Praise the Lord for the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we saw earlier, Adam brought death into this world. Jesus brings eternal life. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 10, chapter 10, Gospel of John, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "And I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Again, great verses of eternal assurance of your salvation, the permanence of your regeneration, amen. It's permanent. You're in the Father's hand. No one can pluck you out of his hand, amen. Praise God for that. And then that great statement, "I and my Father are one." Jesus Christ and the Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen. Three persons in one being. Romans chapter 6, verse 22, again, as we're looking at the permanence of regeneration, the permanence. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 22. Romans 6, 22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life." That's the end for us, everlasting life. What a wonderful end. And actually, it's really a beginning, amen, to look forward to. 1 John, 1 Epistle of John with me in chapter number 2. 1 Epistle of John, chapter number 2, in verse 25. 1 Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse number 25. "And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life." My dear friend, if you've believed on Christ, if there was a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner, as a result of your sins you die and go to that lake of fire and spend time in eternity separated from Almighty God, and that you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust in his death, burial, and resurrection to save you. Again, it says in the Word of God, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." 1 John chapter 5. Again, as we're looking at the permanence of regeneration, 1 John chapter 5, in verses 11 through 13. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son." What a wonderful record that he's given us. He's recorded it in his Word. He's recorded what he has done in his Word. And we have the record. God hath given us his Son. "And this is the record God hath given us to us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's that simple. If you have the Son, then you have eternal life. If you haven't believed on the Son, then you do not have eternal life. Verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." So the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written these things to those that have believed on the name of the Son of God. And this is what he writes: "That ye may know." Know. K-N-O-W. Know. Not hope so, not think so, but know so. You can know right now, he's writing this unto you, to those who have believed on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. What may ye know? That ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What a great promise. Amen. We can have the knowledge right now, or you can have the knowledge, or anybody can have the knowledge, that if they have believed on the name of the Son of God, then they emphatically have eternal life. So we see then, amen, as we talk about this permanence of regeneration, we can't lose it. It's eternal. The Father in the child relationship between God and the regenerated believer cannot be broken. Regardless of what may happen in a Christian's life, he will always be God's child. Amen? In other words, because we still have that old Adamic nature, we're still going to sin and sin, of course, breaks our fellowship with God, with our Father. But regardless of that, we will always be God's child. He's not going to disown us. He's not going to cast us out. And in fact, we have the great promise in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we can restore our fellowship with God immediately if we just own up to our sin, as David did, and acknowledge it and say, I've sinned against you, God. And that fellowship will be instantaneously restored. Amen. But regardless of how the Christian gets backslidden, amen, and out of fellowship with God, once they've been regenerated, and now that believer has Christ's own nature in him, and now he's a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, that relationship, amen, between the child of God and God, between God and the regenerated believer, can never be broken. And praise God for that. The permanence of regeneration. It's permanent. It's ironclad. You and I cannot be separated from the Father. I love what Paul wrote to the believers. And it's been a comfort to me in times of trouble and trial, amen. And Satan will kind of, he loves to get you discouraged, amen. But, and I think Paul wrote this to the Roman believers, amen, just for that reason, to encourage them, amen. It says in Romans chapter number 8, beginning in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was persuaded by all of this. Amen. He knew it. Amen. See, our regeneration is permanent. We cannot be separated. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. The believer, we must remember, is born again by incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed is the Word of God. And as a result of being born again by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, thus that believer, he liveth and abideth forever. Because that incorruptible seed, the Word of God, liveth and abideth forever. Amen. That's going to close out our discussion on the doctrine of regeneration. And when we begin lesson number 4, we'll take up the second doctrine dealing with salvation, the doctrine of salvation, and that's the doctrine of adoption. And we'll look at the definition of adoption, the Bible use of the word. We'll look at how adoption became available, the privileges of adoption, and then the final adoption. Amen. So this concludes lesson number 3, tape number 2, side 1.